This is Brian Meador from East Carolina University. You are listening to The Sports Objective, the official, unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into a late night edition of the Sports Objective. I'm just kidding. My name is Dave Richmond. Glad to be for you guys to be with us on a Tuesday evening with us right now. Bubba Rosenbaum, how are you, man?
Doing well, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, especially when we have our next guest, one of our favorites, one of the guys, the best in college football, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Always love talking college football with this guy. And UMass Hall of Fame running back, Renee Ngolia. Renee, how are you?
Good, guys. You know, I love coming on with you. So anytime to talk football, doesn't matter what time it is.
That's right. Renny, I don't know if you're a guy that drinks beer, but you're like that old cliche that's a guy I'd like to have a beer with. So especially to talk sports and this particular case, college football.
I take that as a compliment for sure. So that's good.
Let's talk about craziness, man. Craziness. I don't even know where to begin, but I guess we can talk certainly a little bit of conference realignment. We've seen three of our partners leave, if you will, when you see the likes of Cincinnati, UCF, those two come to mind. But you have three schools that are leaving the American. I want to get your take off that. One thing that bothered me, and I'll just say this, I know Jeff Charles, the voice of the Pirates, mentioned this on this previous game that we played last week, is the fact that Cincinnati now is taking a Big 12 flag. And they're still part of the American, but they're running out with a Big 12 flag instead of the American flag. And I just have a real problem with that. I'm not a Luke Fickell fan. I'll just tell people that I think the things he did in our game last year, and people could say get over it, but I just think it's bad what he did with the fake punt, your way up. There's all kinds of stuff that he did was very distasteful. I won't get any – I love our friend Chad Brendel. I won't get any postcards from them, I'm sure, but I really don't care. But I just want to get your take on that whole scenario, how it went down, and what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, well, I mean, first and foremost, you guys get them last game of the season, right? If I'm correct. So you could play a huge spoiler. Yeah, listen, I didn't know they were running out with a Big 12 flag. I don't like that either. That's just my personal opinion. I think, you know, you're in the American. We talked off air a little bit about this, Dave. I just think it's give and take, right? Those schools, Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston, wouldn't be able to make that jump to the Big 12 or any autonomous five conference without the help of the American. And obviously those schools have helped the American, right? They've been flagship schools, but so has Memphis. So yeah, I think you still have to have respect for the conference. And now people will jump out and say, well, the conference took away, you know, conference championships and track and field and basketball, and there's some of that going on, but it's in the bylaws. So, you know, that's what those conferences are going to do. So, listen, it's never, ever easy, right? It's kind of, you know, I haven't been through a divorce, but I can only imagine, like, it's going through a divorce, but yet your wife says, okay, you know, I'm leaving you. Got another guy I'm going to. But, oh, by the way, I can't leave for about 2 years, maybe a year and a half. I don't know, but I'm going to be living in the house in another room. I mean, that's really what it is, right? And you try to be civil. It's just a tough situation. And, listen, I'm a big Mike Oresko fan. I mean, I know him personally. I worked their media days this year. He's trying the best he can do. And, he's going to have eight schools, so he's got to go out and find some other schools that fit the American and schools that want to come to the American. So it's a tough time for everybody, but there's just so much going on right now in conference realignment, and just, it changes day to day. So.
Yeah. For me personally, Bubba, I was going to say this real quick. Sorry. Me personally, there's a lot of, maybe because of an East Coast bias, but I think the nice try for the Mountain West. I know people have been critical. He did what he had to do to try to get the keep the revenue for the TV deal up. But me personally, you know, I know Kyle's talked about it too. I think that we have to have football schools in this conference. I love basketball. Everybody knows how much I love basketball. Huge college basketball fan. But when it comes to money, football schools are what's going to, that's what's going to drive everything. I think there's an argument for markets. There's an argument for football schools. But for me personally, you take a UAB, for example, that they have a market, and they surprisingly, Bill Clark's done a nice job. They have a new stadium. They have done a lot of great things. So for me personally, that's one. You look at Marshall. I talked about Appalachian State, another one. Florida Atlantic has been a surprise school with a lot of money. We've talked about them down in Florida. So when you have the likes there, Rennie, when you have a situation where you have Marshall, Appalachian State, UAB, and then you may have missed me. I said Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
Is another school that they've really done a nice job. I understand they have a lot of money. I don't know a lot about the school, but what I do know about the school is they would fit nice. And I think that another thing that I want to see is I know that our athletic director here in Greenville with John Gilbert, there's some that they want a separate Olympic sports conference and they want just football only. And I just don't think – I disagree with them respectively. I love them. The SEC and other conferences don't have everything separate. So my point is, when I say that, is let's have a conference that's geographically more reasonable and where your volleyball team – I do agree with them that – does it make sense for some of those, even football schools to go, football programs to go across country and all the travel and all the, if we know, and you're a, so is Bubba, student athlete, the time that you have to spend on studying and on, that's like a full-time job. And then you have a situation with not only studying, but also the sport you're playing is like a full-time job.
Yeah, no, I agree with it. And I think the Air Force Colorado State thing from the Mountain West, I think that was going to be a package deal. So you get Colorado State, who's a good program, brand new stadium there, and you're going to try to pull the Denver market, right? It's a bigger TV market. I think Air Force packages in with that nicely because they would be in a conference now with Navy. So that aligns nicely. That didn't work out for whatever reason. So, yeah, and you move on. I agree. You know, way back when I was talking about it, I always thought UAB would be the number one target because of the football market, because of the new stadium, and because the program's been doing well. And that's the other thing, too. We can't get lost in if the program's having a down year, has had a couple down years. Let's be honest. What these conferences do, and it's just not Mike Oresco, all the conferences, they go to their TV partners and they say, okay, these are the schools that are interested. If we bring these schools in, what happens to our TV money? So, for instance, the American right now is bringing in with their new TV deal, I think about $7 million a school. So, obviously, that's going to move, right, when Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati leave. So, now you put other ones in there, and you want to try to keep it as close to that $7 million. But I think UAB, I agree with you 100%. I like FAU. I think it keeps another school in that Florida footprint and even brings you down to South Florida. They have a brand new stadium. It's, you know, probably 10 years old, but they're in a good position. Willie Taggart has been in the American before. He's been a Power 5 guy. So, yeah, I like that. And so other ones from Conference USA. And the big thing about Conference USA is, you guys know, their TV deal, it's not up to par really with anybody else in the country. And I'm being nice. Those schools get about $400,000 a year, and you can juxtapose, you know, you compare it right with the American, who's getting $7 million. I mean, even if the American dropped to $5 million a school, that's still light years away from what the conference USA. And, you know, so, and there's good programs in there. We talked about UAB, Marshall, you got Appalachian State in the Sun Belt. So again, though, I think it's a workaround with your TV partner and what kind of fits in. And I think everyone would agree geographically, if you can fit schools in the footprint, that helps everybody out. It really helps out the Olympic sports. But one thing's for certain, the American's not going to sit pat at eight schools. I mean, they're going to have to add at least two. I think if Mike Oresco had his druthers, he'd add four. You know, back originally, I was thinking, you know, I was like UAB, and then I thought Air Force and Army as well. Go ahead. And so now you'd have all the service academies. I kind of think that's kind of a brand in and of itself, but doesn't look like that's going to happen. But there's some programs out there that I think can come into the American and sustain it and keep it there and then build on it. And that's all you can really do is build on it and then just keep moving forward.
No doubt about it. We've got Kyle coming, but we've got some questions we want to get in. Bubba wants to get in before we bring in Kyle with questions from – we have fans, viewers, listeners that are tuning in tonight. Right, Bubba?
Yeah, absolutely. Folks chiming in on YouTube and Facebook, we appreciate that. Keep the questions and comments coming in. Mark Calloway saying, hey, guys, I appreciate you tuning in, Mark. But Richard Alsbrook had a question saying – Rini, do you think the current Power 5 conference teams will move to a 16-team membership? That's something that, as Richard's saying, that we've heard for years, that this thing would eventually go to four 16-team leagues. What do you think?
It's interesting, right, because everyone was kind of status quo, right? And then, you know, the Oklahoma and Texas deal gets done, and it was kind of a punch in the face to everybody. You know, all these other commissioners kind of got their feelings hurt. And so, you know, I think it kind of depends on the college football playoff committee, what we're going to do with that. I think kind of think they align. I think if I don't know, it could go both ways. It really can. I would like to think it's not going to go that way. I think we have some time, but I'm crazy if I tell you I know what's going to happen. I don't think any of us do, right? The only good thing, I think, is you see how powerful, you know, what the SEC is doing. But you look at the Big 12, they had to take three American teams. They bring in BYU. So they're kind of still – they're going to be, you know, kind of – I don't want to say fluttering, but they're going to be fighting their way. Look at the Pac-12. They started out great the first couple of weeks, and now look where they are as a conference. Big 10's always going to be the Big 10. They're in great shape. And now look at the ACC this year, right? They're kind of up in flux as well. My point being, especially with the transfer portal, what we've seen, a lot of the group of five programs, they've really narrowed it. You know, they've gotten a lot closer. I really believe that. We were talking about Conference USA, so I've done five games this year already. I did Louisiana Tech twice. Now, they lost both games, but they could have easily beaten Mississippi State. They had that game won. And I just had them last week, last play of the game, fourth quarter at NC State. And they made a lot of mistakes in that game. Clock management at the end was horrible. So what I'm trying to say is I think because the parity's better, I think if we can go to a 12-team playoff, and I don't think the Power Fives, the Autonomous Fives, will jump to 16. I don't think they will. At the end of the day, guys, at the end of the day, and you guys all know this, it's all about TV revenue and what you're going to bring in for your conference and, you know, as an individual program. And if you can go to 16, you know, if the Big Ten can bump up and other ones can bump up and they can put more money in their pockets, they're probably going to do it. But we'll see.
Hey, Rennie, it's Kyle. Better late than never, right? I had to take care of a phone call from somebody at work. I don't know how much conference expansion has been talked about, but a couple things I wanted to bring up. One, there's speculation out there out of the Big 12 that they may add 2 to 4 more teams. I've heard Memphis and SMU. I've heard SMU Boise. I've heard, you know, going to as many as 16. My question to you is, if you look at where the Big 12 is going to be after Texas and Oklahoma leaving, they'll be at 12. You know, they brought in BYU, UCF, Houston, Cincinnati, plus what they already have. The TV revenue that they're going to get is what they're going to get. I don't see how bringing in SMU and Memphis or SMU and Boise or any combination of teams out there is going to increase their television revenue any more than the 12 they're going to be playing with. So to me, they would just be splitting the pie into more pieces. So at the end of the day, I don't think it makes financial sense for the Big 12 to go beyond 12. Do you?
Well, that's exactly what they have to do, Kyle. And I don't know the answer. They have to get with their TV partner and they have to say, okay, these are the ones that are interested. This is who we're thinking of bringing in. And then it's all math from there. So, and you know, the ones, it comes down to TV markets and what those brands are. So I don't know what Bob Bowlesby's thinking at the Big 12. I know if I was in that office, I would be thinking, okay, we already got, we already got our two best programs taken away from us that we didn't even know what the hell was going on until it happened. Now they're going to be they want to be proactive and they say, well, we're going to go out and get 16. We're going to take the best available. I hadn't heard those rumors, but now that you say it, it makes sense. I could see them doing it, right? Because out of all the conferences out there, right, the autonomous five, the power fives, and a group of fives, I think you could say the American is the one that's kind of butting heads with the Big 12 right now, right? We saw the, you know, what happened early on after Texas and Oklahoma left, how Bowlesby kind of attacked the American. So he's probably thinking, well, we're going to go on the offensive and try to take schools from the American if we can, while we can. And that kind of puts the American back on their heels. So, yeah, it's fascinating what's going on right now. And at the end of the day, though, the individual schools are going to do what's best for them. But just to circle back in the beginning of your question, you have to see what the TV revenue is going to be contractually, and then and do the math and see if it is more. Because you're right. If it's more advantageous to have 12 than 16, then why would you go to 16 just for the sake of doing 16? I agree with you there wholeheartedly. But there's no doubt everybody is working right now to better their universities and better their conferences. There's no doubt that's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, and as far as the American goes, with the three that were lost, you know, there was a lot of flirtation with the Mountain West schools, which I never thought was going to happen. I thought Erasco was being, wishful thinking, I guess. But, it, you know, now I don't know what the backup plan is for the American. You know, you hear UAB's a lock, but beyond UAB, you know, I don't know. I heard even some speculation, maybe it'll just be UAB and stay at 9. I think that would be hugely short-sighted because of what I just said.
Yeah.
If the Big 12 wants to come call and take other teams, you better already have some schools in place. So, I don't know who else is out there that's very appealing. I personally am not a market guy. I think if you look at the evidence, once you get past a certain group of schools, Cincinnati's, Houston's, those schools for markets, I think if you look at what Conference USA did this past cycle, taking Charlotte, taking UTSA, taking Old Dominion, the Norfolk market, and you look at their TV deal, and then you look at what the Sun Belt did, taking programs that were good at the FCS level, like Appalachian State, Georgia Southern, Coastal Carolina, and now you look at what the Sun Belt has done, elevating themselves, and what Conference USA done. Sun Belt's on ESPN every week. The Sun Belt's on Facebook. Conference USA's on Facebook. The Sun Belt's on ESPN every week.
Yeah.
So what I would like to see the American do, you know, maybe take a couple of markets like UAB, and not only UAB is a market, it's a good football program now.
Yep.
Maybe a Florida Atlantic, because I do think they have a lot of potential. But I'd like to see an Appalachian State and a Marshall. You know, Appalachian State has had traditionally good football for years now. Marshall's the same way. I would much rather – Charlotte's getting a lot of mention for the American. And
Houston
that lives in North Carolina, I would much rather have Appalachian State than Charlotte.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Listen, those are the schools you mentioned. Those are all great schools. And so I don't think the American can go wrong with any of them. And the other thing, it's the best of the bunch, right? It's the best of what's out there. I don't think anyone can argue with that. So they're all valid points, Kyle. And I would agree with everything you said there. I agree. I think UAB is a lock. I think FAU's a lock. It should be. It keeps, you know, you lose UCF, so that keeps another, like I was talking to Dave and Bubba, it keeps another school, another footprint in Florida, and it brings you down to South Florida. And they got a new stadium as well. Willie Taggart's been in the conference before, Power Five guy. So I think those two, to me, are locks, right, to get you to 10. And then I'm with you. I think you got to keep going and get to 12 while you're at it. So if it's an App State or Marshall, I think that would fit in good. I heard you see on Twitter the Charlotte talk. You even hear some people throwing Coastal around as well. I'm not sure about that, but
Coastal, to me, the problem with Coastal is, you know, to me, Coastal's Jamie Chadwell. Once Jamie Chadwell's gone, what is Coastal?
Right.
They're an upstart program in the Myrtle Beach area with a low athletic budget with an aqua field.
I agree. Yeah, they don't have the facilities other ones do. Yeah, I agree with you there. So I'm with you. I think they're just getting mentioned for the sake of getting mentioned because they've been playing
they're
so well
right now. Yeah,
yeah.
If you can guarantee me Jamie Chadwell's gonna be there for the next 10 years, I say, okay, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I would probably bet against that.
Yeah, Rennie, I'm just happy the fact that Kyle and I agree. We agree on the four teams, Kyle. You didn't hear my You didn't hear my answer before you came on. So we,
that Dave, is a miracle for me and you to 100% agree on something. those would be the four right now that I think
those are
make the most sense.
Would you guys add something I've been debating, and I'll ask you, Bubba, so because I know you want to chime in. I'll start with you. Do you guys think, would you, if you're a Resco and you have eight, if there were six teams that you knew that could really move the needle, would you add six and have 14, knowing what we've been talking about, there's a chance that you lose Memphis and SMU? Like, in other words, you're being proactive that you have 14 and it would just drop down to 12.
Perhaps. I mean, I would look at it and, you know, see what made the most sense. And I'm like,
and not listen, just to add teams to add them.
Right. Not just add to add. And that's something that Kyle and I have talked about a lot. And you hear it constantly talked about as far as how many different ways the pies are split or the pies split. But, I think perhaps if there's enough teams that that garner that addition.
Yeah, I think you look at two things with that. If you're talking about going to 14, or three things. One, like you said, the potential of losing schools. Two, how are you going to split the TV revenue? Is it more advantageous to go with 14 than 12? Probably not. Also, can you become more – let me see if I can say this right. Can you become more regional but becoming more national? In other words, can we go to 14, add Charlotte and App State, and then add, two schools out west, we'll say UTSA and Rice, and then have two very distinct divisions that creates less travel if you stick to division play for Olympic sports. You can save money that way. Save money is the same as making money.
Yeah, and I would agree. Listen, if I'm Mike Oresco, and we talked about it with the Big 12 with Bowlesby, I think you add as many as you can right now while you're doing it. You don't want to add and then you got to go back because, you know, there's more realignment. Get it done. And the other thing, guys, we haven't talked about, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, so let's just use the three schools that are leaving the American, UCF, Cincy, and Houston. A lot of people don't know. They have to pay somewhere around $25 million a school to get into the Big 12. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
And a $10 million exit fee.
Well, and it's going to – and listen, Kyle, it's going to be more than 10. UConn already said it, right? They paid $17 million to leave early, right? They upped it $7 million.
That's right.
So the precedent is set. So the American's going to sit there and say, that's fine, you can leave early, but it's – you know, UConn paid us $17 million. That's what you three are going to pay. So now that's $50-plus million that the American has in their pocket. And I tell you what that money does, that helps – kind of bring in some other programs that might be on the fence that their entrance fee into the American could be offset a little bit. So Mike Oresco still is in a decent place. It's just a matter of getting the best teams available out there. And we talked about it. It comes down to it again. You're going to sit down with your TV partner because your money's going to move from $7 million a year per school. There's no doubt about it. But you're going to try to make it move as least as possible and then see what that split's going to be and see if it's more advantageous for 10, 12, 14, or 16. I mean, it's really much as simple as that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, do we lose Ernie?
Yeah, we'll get him back. Bubba, I know you want to talk about, obviously, what's on the football field with games and what's been going on the last, 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, as soon as we get Rennie back, we'll switch over to that.
I'm back. I don't know if it's my internet or what. I don't know what's going on here in Florida today.
Coming into this season, East Carolina was.
But before we get on that, because we're going to stay on topic, I did have one more expansion thing I wanted to run by Rennie. And I don't know, or this is going to be a sensitive one. Do you ever see anybody giving Liberty an opportunity? They got a lot of money and great facilities, great program. But because of being an evangelical, just their background with Jerry Falwell, do you think a conference will ever give them an opportunity?
So, you know, I did, ironically, Liberty BYU in 19, right? Yeah, before COVID, in 19. So I had a lot of conversations with Liberty officials. They don't want to go into a conference, Kyle. They want to be the BYU. Now, it's ironic now BYU is going into a conference. They want to be the quote-unquote BYU of evangelical, right, of where they are in Virginia. And they have the money. They have a ton of money at that school. They have great, unbelievable facilities, a great stadium. You know, it's funny. I was talking to Hugh Freeze, and when he wasn't going to take the job, went back, ended up taking the job. And when he got there, he was kind of looking at things, and he was telling them, he's like, well, hey, one thing we don't have is we don't have like a nutrition table. We don't have a cafeteria, you know, just for the athletes or whatever. So he thought when he brought it up, like, you know, within a year or two, they'd have it. He said they broke ground like that week.
Wow.
And he said within like 3 months, they had like a 25,000 square foot cafeteria nutrition table, not just for football, for all the athletes. But I mean, they did it immediately. So, I mean, they have resources there. So I don't think they're actively looking to get in now. I think you're crazy not to. But again, I think they believe they could be what BYU was, although BYU is going to the Big 12, and what Notre Dame is, right? I think they believe that. But I mean, I think down the road, I think someone would give them a shot in there because of the money they bring and the facilities they have. And they've been winning as well. But I think right now, I don't think they're really looking, to be honest with you. I really don't.
That's interesting.
Now, shifting gears to the action on the field, Rini, I know coming into the season, you really liked where the East Carolina program was headed under Mike Houston going into year three. Lost the first couple of ball games. The App State game was a 2-touchdown loss. Really not that competitive on the field in a lot of ways. Lost an absolute heartbreaker to South Carolina before battling back from 17 down in the fourth quarter at Marshall. What's your take on what the Pirates have done thus far?
Yeah, and you guys know this because we talked earlier. When I was in American Conference Media Days, I picked East Carolina as my sleeper team. And I think it was Kyle that had asked me when I did the show, sleeper team, meaning they could win the American. And I was like, nah, not win the American, but win some games this year that no one expected them to win. So I'm looking at the schedule too. And the app, so the App State game, yeah. Although if that Hail Mary would have held up before halftime, I think that could have been a different game, but it didn't. But yeah, so they lose that game. South Carolina was one, right? They're not picked to win. They don't, but they almost do. There, boom, then you get Marshall, right? That's a game where Marshall, everyone thinks Marshall's going to win. East Carolina wins it on the road. Huge win for Mike Houston in that program. Don't probably play their best ball against Charleston Southern, but they get the win. And then Tulane is one of those tweener games, right? And the trajectory that Tulane was on, I think probably most people probably had Tulane favorite. I don't know what the line was, but East Carolina
wins. Tulane about four.
Yeah, there you go. And East Carolina wins that one. So that's two games in the first five that were tweener games that I said, I think they have the ability to win it, and they did. Now, I will tell you this, UCF in the beginning of the year was a game where I didn't think, you know, I thought East Carolina would be competitive. I think this is a game they can win this week on the road. I do. Defensively, to me, has been the question for UCF. Now, granted, I know it was Navy, and Navy's tough, but Navy hasn't been the Navy that we know the last couple of years, and they got it together against UCF. So I'm going to be fascinated to see how well East Carolina comes on the road to play UCF. But just looking at their schedule and looking at the teams that I've seen from the American, to me, I think Mike Houston can, worst case scenario, I think he gets six wins. I think they go 6-6 and possibly 7-5. And I think, and you guys tell me, because you're part of the fan base, I think if you're a fan there, you got to be pretty happy with that if that happens.
Hey, look, as bad as we've been, if we go 6-6, it'll be like farting through silk.
Yeah, that's the way out, exactly.
Yeah, well, this very fact of the with East Carolina now with Coach Houston, you were the one, I will give you credit, because you were the one that told us, I believe even last year, but even media days, but you've told us year three, guys, yeah. I'm telling you, I love Mike Houston. You told us in the green room before the show that you were sold on Mike Houston. And it would be year three. And so far in the first five games, you're starting to see, like you said, those 50-50 games that we desperately needed to win. We would find so many ways to lose games, and we're starting to win those 50-50 games.
Yeah, and so you know, the thing with Mike Houston is, and I love coaches like him, because just look at his track record, right? Go back even before JMU, but JMU. And so he's always won, and he's not a big ego guy, right? He's not this guy that's making a, you know, $1 billion, and he's not a big ego guy. He's the quintessential football coach that, you know, he's going to train. And we always talk about, right, the culture. you know he's going to change the culture, and it takes about 3 years. And we talked about this on the show. What does culture mean? It means, you know, getting to the meetings 15 minutes early. It means doing the little things. It means not having the pre-snap penalties that drive you nuts, that cause teams to lose, playing disciplined football, checking out of the right play, you know, getting that third down stop. And so you're starting to see this team do that. And he's recruiting and bringing the players in. So, yeah, I just think the program's in a good position in year three here. And I think they're going to knock off some more teams. And we talked about it. Kyle wasn't on early. And, Dave, we talked about it. And I think there's a little ill will there with Cincinnati that's left over from last year. And since he could be, I mean, I'm sure if you're an ECU fan, you have to pray to the football gods that Cincinnati is undefeated, right? And that you can knock them off. Could you imagine knocking them off the last game of the season? So, this is why I love college football, though, because the rivalries are great. The pageantry is great. Everything about it's great. So, and I'm happy for the ECU fan base, and I'm happy for the players that their hard work is starting to pay off now.
Yeah, Rennie, two things. You mentioned that Cincinnati game. We got news this week from your employers at ESPN. That game has been moved to the Black Friday, Friday after Thanksgiving, and will at best be a 7 p.m. kickoff on ABC.
Yeah.
At worst, be a 3:30 p.m. kickoff on ESPN. So we're going to get a nice spotlight that if Cincinnati is potentially in position for try to get to the playoffs, even with the way things are playing out, definitely at worst, you know, we'll be in position for a New Year's Six Bowl. And, you know, East Carolina could play spoiler. A lot of football to be played between now and then. One thing I don't want to be playing Cincinnati for an opportunity to get 6-6. I want to have that wrapped up.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, and they'll be here before you know it. But you're right, a lot of football before that. But, this is going to be a great – last 6-7 weeks here. And the thing about Cincinnati is coming into the season so far, they've done exactly what they know they needed to do, right? Beat Indiana and beat Notre Dame. And they've done that, right? So now you got to be sitting there as Luke Fickell and you got to say, okay, now we have to take care of business in the league. So that's going to be very interesting too, as they go week to week, because the pressure with each week for that program is going to build, right? And the AP moved them up to 6 this week, I think. So they are in striking distance. No group of 5 team has ever been in a position they are at this point. It's never happened. So it's going to be really fun watching the rest of this season play out.
Yeah. Bubba, did you have some other things you wanted to bring up?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay, guys, I'm in a.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Just want to make sure before I continued, I'm in a pretty bad service area. But, you know, taking a look at this matchup specifically with UCF this weekend for East Carolina, I agree with you. This is one that now I do think, especially, you know, given UCF's quarterback situation, Dylan Gabriel being done for the year, I really think the Pirates could go down to Orlando and pull the upset. Currently, I think about a 10-point underdog. Yeah,
that line is too – it surprised me being that large.
Yeah, me as well. I thought it would probably be 7 or 8. But taking a look at this East Carolina defense, Blake Harrell and his unit has been very opportunistic. A defense of the bend but don't break variety, have forced 12 turnovers in 5 games thus far, and have played really good red zone defense and pretty good on third down as well.
Yeah, and you know what's the saying, guys? Defense travels, right? And he's got some experienced guys on that defensive unit, so I like that. Listen, I think UCF's going to, you know, score their points, but I think with a defense like East Carolina to get a win like that on the road, I think if Holt Naylor's runs that offense, they've been running the ball good. I think they're going to score their points on UCF. I think UCF's defense is their bugaboo. It was their bugaboo last year. I thought it was starting to get a little better this year, but there's going to have to be a drastic change Saturday. All is the defense has to do for East Carolina, and they don't have to be this standout, shut them down, hold them to 14 points. You just have to be opportunistic in what you just mentioned. You just got to get that takeaway at the right time. You got to get the 3-and-out at the right time, or a couple 3-and-outs at the right time, and then give it back to your offense to get some points. And that's a game I think you can see yourself winning you know, 33-28, 35-31, something like that on the road, 28-26, something like that, if everything falls your way. But I definitely think it's a winnable game. And listen, I don't gamble, but if I was a gambling man, 10 points, I'm taking ECU all day long with those 10 points. That's just me.
Hey, now, Remy, can you shed any light on that UCF defense? Because I know East Carolina head coach Mike Houston, and sure, he's gonna praise the other team in the weekly press conference, but at the same time, he just raved about UCF's defensive line, saying that, in his opinion, they're better than South Carolina.
Defensive line is great. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He is 100% right. You got some big cat up there who was a first-team all-SEC guy, Kalia Davis. So their D-line itself is good. You can take care of a D-line. Where their issue is, and this was their issue last year, is their linebacker play. So their linebackers have to make tackles. They have to get to the proper depth. Their secondary is pretty good, but there's no doubt their defensive line is the best part of their defensive unit. But again, I think you can scheme up, you can do stuff offensively there if their linebackers aren't playing great. But he's not lying about it when he talks about that defensive line.
And one of their defensive linemen, one of UCF's defensive linemen, guaranteed a victory in that game this week. Nothing too boastful. Actually, when I saw the headline, UCF defensive lineman guarantees victory over East Carolina, I was hoping the comment would be more out there. But he said something like, the fans in the bounce house are expecting a victory, and I guarantee we're going to deliver. So nothing too outlandish, but enough to post up the locker room, just you know, to get the players even more motivation.
Yeah. So and you love it, right? You love the – yeah, like you said, the confidence, right, of the home team. But, I'm old school. I never said a word. I just shut up because I just feel like you jinx yourself. Just shut up and play. Always give the praise to the other team. And then just in the back of your mind, think, yeah, we're going to kick the crap out of them. But never say it out loud. But times have changed. Kids are a lot different now. And some coaches are a lot different now.
And, Rennie, there's so much parity. And we're getting ready to talk about other leagues. So that'll be a nice segue. But there's so much parity right now that there's a chance that who knows if what's going to happen with Cincinnati. Yes, there's probably going to be, if you're a betting man, you're probably going to bet on Cincinnati. But the way things have been in college football, they could lose a couple games down the stretch in the American. And like everybody's like going, how could that be possible? They're leaving the American. The American is a group of five. But anything is possible this day and time. And just like with who would have ever thought that East Carolina would be doing well early on? They have, but the second half of the year, something back at you just don't know.
Well, and Navy hadn't won a game, and no one thought Navy was going to knock UCF off last week. So, and the other thing, UCF, they got some injuries. You know, they're banged up. So, I think that's another thing that's good for ECU as well.
Let's talk to other leagues. No, Bubba and Kyle and I, we follow the more than just the American. You made some great points. One of the things that I've noticed in the different leagues, man, the one thing that comes to mind is that I am not, obviously being from more of the Mid-Atlantic or South, I'm not into really Big Ten football the way that a lot of people maybe are, but I have to give credit where credit's due. The Big Ten has really surprised me this year that one of the teams that I tell you, that guy has gotten more flack than any other coach in the history, well, not the history, but in recent history of college football is Jim Harbaugh, and they're sitting there at 5-0. You got to give them props for their
And it's a quiet 5-0. He's not boisterous. You're not hearing a lot of stuff come out of Ann Arbor. They're just playing their games. Now they're gonna get into the meat of their schedule. Now pretty much everybody is. We got a great one this week with Penn State and Iowa. So, but yeah, give Jim Harbaugh credit. But let's face it, guys, he has to beat Ohio State. He's never done it. So he's gonna get his chance. But now I agree with you, Dave. Big Ten has played some really good football to this point.
How cool would it be to see Iowa win the Big Ten and make the playoffs?
So I'm a huge Iowa fan. So Kirk Ferentz, who, oh, by the way, I think he's the most tenured college football coach in the nation. I think he's been with Iowa 19, 20, 21 years, something like that. He's the most tenured. He was the head coach at the University of Maine when I played at UMass. And I'll never forget this. And I just told someone this story the other day. I was a rookie of the year in 1992, And I was walking through the football office at UMass, and the secretary said, "Hey, you got mail." And I'm like this freshman kid, and I'm like, "I got mail? Who the hell is sending me mail?" So I look, and it's an envelope from the University of Maine. And I was just so confused, and I opened it up, and it was a letter from Kirk Ferentz congratulating me on being named Rookie of the Year. And I always thought that was the coolest thing. So I have always been a Kirk Ferentz fan since that day. So I always root for him. And he's just a good, hard – we talked about Mike Houston, right? Kirk Ferentz, Mike Houston's kind of in that mold. Just a not flashy, you know, not flamboyant, you know, just a good quality college football coach that could stay somewhere for a long time and do well. And so, yeah, I would love to see a school like Iowa jump in there and make the playoff.
Yeah, Kirk Ferentz, it seems every few years, he's always got a solid football program, but it seems every few years Iowa kind of bows their neck and threatens for that Big Ten title. And
I love, Kyle, that they do it defensively. It's old school football to me, right? I mean, short passes, run the ball, and their defense just gets after it. And like I tell people, if you watch me call games, I tell people all the time, I don't care if you're a spread triple option like Coastal. I don't care if you're a triple option like Navy. I don't care if you're Mississippi State and you're running the air raid. I don't care. You better do two things if you want to win: play great defense and win at the line of scrimmage. And if you can win at the line of scrimmage and play great defense, you are going to win more games than you lose. You're just gonna. That's just the old school. Excuse me, the old school football. I mean, Alabama was dominant for years because Nick Saban played such great defense, right? Yeah. And then what did Nick Saban do? He said, "Well, I'm still going to play great defense, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to bring people in and I'm going to change with the times offensively because everyone is." So now he plays great defense and he does the same offense as everyone else, and that's why they keep winning the way they're winning.
Brandy, you mentioned your alma mater, UMass.
Please.
Do your boys play UConn this weekend?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. You know, I talk to the athletic director. You know, I buy four season tickets up there and I donate them. The school gives them out to charity. Just try to give back a little bit.
Charity?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that's.
He got mad. He got mad and left.
He said, "Kyle, you do not talk about my Minutemen."
Yeah, he didn't like your comment. He was like, "I'm out of here." We've never had a guest leave us before.
Yeah, I hope because I actually have a follow up to that UMass question. I hope you can get a signal.
You got
there. We go.
Listen, I don't know if you heard me before I got cut off. It's not really charity; it's punishment for someone. So whoever they give those tickets to, listen, I don't know the answer. A lot of it is what we've been talking about tonight, guys. If you're a school like UMass, you have to get into a conference.
Yeah,
you cannot survive as an independent. And so I've talked to some people there, not necessarily within the university, but people that are within the Commonwealth that are in the know. And again, even for like a UMass to get into like a Conference USA, it costs money. Yeah. You're talking $10, $15 million even to get into a CUSA. So there's a lot that goes into it.
They had an opportunity to get in the MAC sports, but they wouldn't. They take basketball out of the A-10. So the
correct.
MAC,
yeah. So they were in the MAC. They were actually in the MAC. A lot of people don't know this. They were tied. They were tied to Temple because Temple was in their football only. And then that very next year is the big East dissolve. Yep. And then the American came and Dibble the whole nine yards. And so you're right. The MAC said, bring all your sports in and you can stay. And at the time, the Atlantic 10, and it really wasn't just basketball. All the Olympic sports in the Atlantic 10 were pretty good. So they just didn't want to do that. I understood it at the time. But now you have to, you know, you have to try to get into a conference. You cannot survive like that, and UConn's in the same predicament. But it's going to be fascinating to see who wins that game this week. So I feel bad for whoever loses it. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I don't know what UConn was thinking. I do know what they were thinking when they left the American. They were thinking they wanted to play Providence in basketball again. But I don't know what they were thinking for their football program. You're giving it a virtual death sentence. When you're up there in the Northeast as an independent, who in the hell are you going to get to come play for you?
Well, and that's what it looked like to me too, that they were just looking to give an excuse to basically get rid of the program. I mean, that, you know, you look at the outside and they spend,
or go FCS.
Yeah, they spend a lot more money because if you just look at what the head coach was getting paid and what the coaching staff is getting paid, they spend a lot more money than UMass does. And UMass actually, I think, plays more money games than they do. But yeah, it's, and they got a real nice stadium too. I'm sure you guys have been there. Super nice stadium, great facility. They really do have great facilities, unbelievable football facilities. But you mentioned something too. A lot of people don't realize it costs a lot of money to play FCS football as well. And you're not getting any return in FCS. At least, you know, you can play money games, but they're actually not as lucrative. You can make more money as an FBS school with your money games. So I don't know the answer to either of those programs, to be honest with you. I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah. Now, Randy, you talk about what Randy Edsall's making at UConn. Yeah. Obviously, he made the decision to retire, but Coach Edsall, I mean, he had all kinds of ridiculous bonuses that I've never heard of, you know, and winning different statistical battles and all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, they would lose a game by 40 points or more, and because the game was so lopsided, they would pile up some yardage, and he would be getting $10,000 bonuses in a 50-10 loss.
Yeah, it's a good agent, right? I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous, but hey, I mean, give him credit. That's what they did, and I thought it was fascinating that he basically said, "Hey, I'm going to retire at the end of the year," and then the powers to be said, "Well, you're not going to have a you know, a 10-11 week parade retirement party on our watch. You're done. You'll get paid throughout the year, but you're gonna be gone." So, which I think was the right thing to do for the program. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to that program next year and what they do. But because of the facilities and because they do have some money, if they do back it at all, they'll be able to get a decent coach there. There's no doubt about it. I think financially they're in a little better position than UMass in terms of, you know, what you're paying your coaches. Walt Bell's a good coach, but he's a young coach at UMass that it's never been a head coach, right? So that's the kind of guy, excuse me, you're banking on to go in there and try to win. So we'll see this week. Should be an interesting game.
Because depending on who leaves Conference USA, there could be some opportunities for multiple spots coming open. You know, is UConn and UMass, how's their relationship? Could they work together? Would UMass be, you know, would they go all sports into Conference USA depending on who's left?
I think they would. And that's just my opinion. I don't have any inside knowledge. And listen, UMass and UConn. So I played them. We played every year when I went to college. Matter of fact, Skip Holtz, which you guys know from ECU. Yep. Skip was the head coach of UConn. So I played against Skip for a couple of years. He wasn't there the whole time. So although they may not, quote unquote, get along, that's actually a nice package, right? To bring, you know, bring a rivalry in like that. They could say, oh, well, it's not a rivalry. It is. They're an hour apart from each other. You have the State University of Massachusetts, the State University of Connecticut. It's a built-in rivalry, right? So right. I think that would be advantageous for Conference USA to take that. I do, you know. I think they both would be crazy not to look into a conference. I mean, I know UMass is, and it has to fit, but I agree with you 100%, Kyle. They're sitting back on the outside saying, okay, what's going to happen with conference realignment? So they're waiting to see the next domino, right? And the next domino is the American. Who does the American bring, and what spots does that open up? So I agree 100%.
Heard some speculation of UConn reaching out to the American to see if they could get back in football only, and I just don't see that happening.
I don't either. I mean, I could be wrong, but no. We'll see. I just think when they left the way they left, you pay a $17 million exit fee. Now you want to get back in. I mean, maybe
what's the benefit? What's the benefit for the American to bring
it? It would just be filling a spot, right? That we talked about. You know, what do you bring to the table, right? So, I don't see it either. But I don't know. Nothing seems to surprise me anymore. So,
what about the conference that outside of the American which we play in that everybody loves in North Carolina, being the Atlantic Coast Conference? That, I tell you one thing right now, that, you know, everybody talks about the Group of Five, but the reason I get mad with about the whole term is the very fact we're doing exactly the same thing that quote unquote Power Five teams are doing, and the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12 are not the conferences that you think that they would be like there's a whole bunch of, you know, differences between the American and those three conferences. The two conferences that are way ahead of everybody else, of course, the Big Ten and the SEC, without a doubt.
Yep.
But those three conferences are not much different than us. I know we've talked about it, Kyle, before, and you got to include Clemson is not Clemson anymore. Not right
not
in the moment. Not this year.
Yeah, I don't know. The ACC is not very good.
Well, and I agree with you guys, and that's the problem. Seeing when I did the American Conference Media Days, I made the comment that the Americans in a strong position. And with UCF, Houston, and Cincinnati, they were super strong. Now you take those three away from the top of the conference, that hurts the American, right? So that's what Mike Oresko is dealing with right now. But I agree with you. As I look at the ACC, obviously Wake 5-0, playing really good football. I had North Carolina State last week. They looked pretty good. Pitt was one that I was high on. Of course, they go ahead and lose a game to Western Michigan, who I have this week.
Guy has done a great job taking over PJ Fleck. Nobody's talked about that. Tim Lester is, you know, PJ Fleck left, you know, PJ rowing the boat, Mr. Flashy, and Tim Lester came in, and you know, who the hell's Tim Lester? And he's done a good job there now, three or four, I guess it's 4 years in, and has won every year. And this year, they're really good.
Yeah, 4-1. They've beat Pitt, as I talked about. They beat San Jose State as well.
Yeah.
Which was,
champion.
Yep. Yeah. So they got a couple really nice wins. They get Ball State this week. So, yeah, they're in a good position as well. And it's in the MAC, just that conference that, you know, they just go about their business, right? They got a lot of notoriety from those midweek MAC games. They still do them. I think people love them because they just want to watch football on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. And there was a time there where they were really exciting, and then they kind of went into a lull. Hopefully they'll come back again real strong this year. But, yeah, that MAC, just that conference, they got a decent TV deal with ESPN. They love it. And that's the one thing with the MAC, because going back to talking about TV deals, it might not be, you know, the biggest in terms of putting money in their pockets, but it sure gets their schools on national TV, which is a lot of notoriety, which is great just for the schools in and of itself. It's great advertisement. So there's pretty much not a MAC team out there. If you mention a MAC team, people are like, oh yeah, I've heard of them or I've seen them. So
yeah. And one more, you know, we're starting to kind of get on the back end of this, start wrapping it up. I had one more TV related question. You mentioned calling that NC State Louisiana Tech game, which was an ESPN Plus game, correct?
Yep.
And that interests me. NC State, Louisiana Tech does not sound like it'd be an ESPN Plus game. Sounds like something you see on the U or maybe a 12 o'clock kickoff on ESPN2. This week, East Carolina UCF, just a couple years ago, that would have definitely been an ESPNU game.
Yeah.
There seems to be a lot more high profile, obviously not the biggest games, but more high profile games being pushed over to ESPN Plus. Are we going to see more of that? Streaming seems to be coming the norm.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. There's a concerted effort to put better games on the streaming platforms. And, you know, they want people to sign up, and there's no doubt about it. And so the good thing about it now is the technology is so good. So when I started with ESPN in 2010, it was called ESPN3 back then, right? And I mean, you know,
360 at one point.
Well, it was 360 the year before, and then the year I got there was ESPN3. And I mean, if you tried to stream a game, you could not get through the whole game. It would freeze up and
buffering
and just the quality wasn't good. Now you can go on ESPN Plus or ACC Extra Plus, I think it's called, ACC Extra Network, SEC. And it is no different than watching a game on YouTube. It's the exact same thing. And the quality is as good, if not better. And obviously with everyone's smart TVs now, you can put it on your TV in the living room. So there's really no difference in that. And I think that, and this is my opinion, although I think I'm 100% spot on, there's a concerted effort to put better teams on those platforms to force people to get the subscriptions. I mean, it's not rocket science. And so you're going to see ranked teams on there. And yeah, you're right. That UCF ECU game, that's a good game. That is definitely would have been a couple of years ago. That's an ESPNU game all day long, maybe even a noon ESPN2 game, and you're going to get it on the plus. And that's all encompassed in their TV contract. So the conferences know that. They don't look at it as a slight. They know that that's part of the revenue that they get is getting the internet stuff going.
Rennie, who do you think is going to play since, let's say we'll put Cincinnati in the American Championship? Who do you like to be the other team, that second team to challenge Cincinnati or at least play Cincinnati in the championship?
So right now, so look at SMU's undefeated, right? So I don't know who plays who in regular season. I actually like the way Houston's playing, and I thought Dana Holgorsen would. This might be the year as well. Houston, SMU. I had Memphis. I tell you what, Memphis has some issues. They're not the Memphis that we know of. I think they're a good team, but they're not the Memphis that we've had in of years. I did like UCF. They're going through some issues. So
here's something interesting for you, Rennie.
Yeah.
Memphis, Vegas has lost faith in Memphis. They're actually an underdog to Tulsa.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wasn't, I mean, they got up. I did the UTSA game and they got up on UTSA quick. They were up by 20 points early. UTSA, that's a good program out of Conference USA. You want good program. And they came back and won that game, and deservedly so.
Yeah. Same thing to Temple this week. They got up 17-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And Temple came back and beat.
Well, Temple's another one, guys. I told you last. They were devastated by COVID worse than any team in the nation. Forget the American. They were worse than any team in the nation. What they went through, the restrictions that Philadelphia put on them, and then they couldn't play. And Rod Carey's another guy. It's a really good coach. You know what he did at Northern Illinois. So I'm actually happy for them. I knew they would have a bounce back year. So they're 3-2. So yeah, good for Temple. But to get to Dave's question, if you're going to press me right now, I'm going to give you two, and I'm going to say Houston or SMU, one of those two, right now.
Yeah, I'm strong in SMU's corner. I don't.
Yep.
I'm not a believer in Dana Holgorsen. No disrespect, if you like him.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. So it's kind of ironic that he's going to be back in the Big 12, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, and hopefully he doesn't drink too much.
well, East Carolina's the reason why his kids don't eat. So.
Yeah. Rennie, he made a comment when he was in Virginia that, back before the autonomy and the Power Five thing happened, that schools like East Carolina and Marshall are the reason that we can't provide meals for our players.
Yeah.
That's not an exaggeration. That's pretty close to
exactly what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
so no love lost there either when you guys play Houston. So
no, not at all. Not at all. By the way, just a note, Houston Stadium is named TDECU.
There you go. There you go.
We have a coach named Houston. So if you're a broadcaster, you can get really confused.
That's right.
What about the other leagues? Who do you like? Like if you go in Atlantic Coast Conference,
man,
that's a really hard one. Usually you can just say Clemson, and this year it's a real horse race this year.
It is, man. I'm bringing up the standings right now. My gut tells me, and probably because I've known him for a long time, Pitt, because I've known Pat Narduzzi for 30 years. And I tell you what, I love Kenny Pickett. You want to talk about a super senior quarterback, experience doing all that thing. Their defense scares me. I mean, they gave up, 44 points to Western Michigan, and we just talked about, which is a very good MAC team. Can Wake hold on and do it? NC State's another one. I don't think Clemson's going to rebound. I think this is going to be their down year. Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Virginia, man, it's just so up in the air. I'm going to go with Pitt. I'm going to throw Pitt out there because I just don't know.
But I'm not dead on Clemson just yet. They have one loss in ACC play.
No, they're in it. They're in it with about five or six other schools, really.
Yeah. Nice win over Boston College. Boston College is playing good football.
They are.
Rennie, one of the more disappointing teams this year has been Texas A&M. What are your thoughts on the Aggies?
It surprised me because I thought they were ready and loaded this season for sure. So it just goes to show you in a conference, like really any conference, once you get into conference play and you just start taking haymakers every week, right? And that's what happened to them. And now they got to play. They play Alabama this week, right?
I believe so. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but that's right.
I think they do. So it's just like once you start, you know, getting, and of course they lost their quarterback, and just goes to show you how important quarterback play. And just to jump back to Clemson, listen, DJ Uiagalelei is a very talented quarterback, but when you go from Trevor Lawrence, you know, to the next quarterback, it's tough. And there's just, you get a lot of pressure on you, and so much is going on. And it really is just such an important position. So I think Texas A&M has learned that. And then of course you're not only in the toughest conference in the nation, you're in the toughest division in the toughest conference in the nation for Texas A&M. So yeah, I think they're in a little bit of trouble, and Arkansas has showed, boy, they turned it around pretty quick as well. LSU is another one I think that was in trouble. So Ed Orgeron might be, time might be up pretty soon for Ed Orgeron, unfortunately.
Now, speaking of the SEC, Tennessee had an explosion this past week, putting over 60 on Missouri. They lost Randy there for, we'll see if he comes back. But I'm just wondering, what do you guys think? Do y'all think Tennessee has kind of found their wheelhouse offensively, or Missouri just that bad, Bubba?
I definitely think that Tennessee's on to something offensively. Not that Missouri's a world beater defensively by any means, but putting 62 points on anyone, but especially a conference opponent like that, that's something that I couldn't tell you I'd like to know when the last time Tennessee put 62 on an SEC opponent is. That has to probably rank, you know, top three to
that's
five.
That's a good point.
That may be the most they've ever scored against an SEC opponent. No, it's got to rank right there. But, as far as Josh Heupel's concerned, and now he just needs to land some defensive talent or continue to bring that defense along there and not.
Yeah, he getting Josh Heupel. That's one thing, that offense, and he did it at UCF. They can score points, and it's predicated on tempo and more tempo. Yep. They're going to go as fast as they can. And when they execute it, it's really hard for defenses to hold up against it when they're clicking on all cylinders like they did against Mizzou. But yeah, so I'm with you though. You got to recruit some defense, but I think the fan base there in Knoxville is pretty happy thus far.
You talk about
who the ball? Do we? Do we have schedule? Anyway, you know who the Vols play this week?
Let's see who the Vols play. They got South Carolina this week.
Okay, well there you go.
Right. They do. Yes.
That's interesting because you said that offense is. You're right. It is so predicated on tempo. The one thing, if you've got a lot of defensive linemen that you can rotate in and out, that really will help you against that offense to keep guys fresh. That is the one place South Carolina does have a lot of talent.
Well, and so, but the thing is, though, but if that tempo gets going, they don't give you time to substitute. So that's kind of like the chess match. Key to an offense like that is to minimize it on first down. If you can stuff them on first down, then it's hard for them to get in a rhythm. When they get 6, 7, 8 yards or they get a chunk play quickly, then they go fast, right? And then the linemen are all running around and it gets you out of sorts. So that's the interesting little chess match with an offense like that.
Plus, South Carolina does not have any offense to keep pace.
Hey, Rennie, what about Kentucky? Mark Stoops there, man. I'll tell you what. That win over Florida was a big for this past weekend. Obviously, I'm very happy with East Carolina went beating Tulane, but really happy for the Wildcats. Happy for those folks there. I know it's more of a basketball school, but Stoops, man, that's one program that you would be surprised that they've let him come in and really develop a program. You always talk about culture.
Yeah,
a guy really built a nice program there. You wouldn't expect that at Kentucky. You would say automatically. It's kind of like, I wouldn't say as bad as Kansas because they've had some good teams in the past with different coaches, but what a nice job he's done.
Well, we talked about it earlier. Listen, you could be a basketball school, but football drives the bus. We know that. It just does. But yeah, 5-0, hadn't beaten Florida at home since 1986, I think was the last time. So that's a great, great win. And so, you know, we talked about the negative stuff of my alma mater tonight, UMass. So their offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, which gives Stoops a ton of credit bringing him in. He's a record-setting quarterback at UMass. He played his college ball at UMass. A great offensive coordinator. And that's paying dividends for Kentucky this season as well. So a good young coach that's probably going to be a head coach down the line here. But, yeah, I'm happy for Kentucky. When you see a program, and it's one of those programs that's always fought, right? And you talked about it. You know, they'll have their better years and they'll have some down years and they're just always fighting. So 5-0, they're sitting in a good position right now as well, though, in the SEC East.
Hey, Reaney, the final thing I have for you before we wrap this up, we've talked about Clemson and Texas A&M, how they've been disappointments thus far. And then, you know, who do you see, not necessarily challenging them for the title, but who else do you see in the college football playoff besides Alabama and Georgia? We talked about how Michigan has played really well. Could this be the year that they finally knock off Ohio State and go? We've talked about Iowa. Penn State has played well thus far. But you also, you know, have some other programs out there. We've mentioned Cincinnati. Who do you see potentially, you know, vying for those third and fourth spots? You have Oklahoma, who's undefeated, but they've largely, you know, struggled at times.
Yeah. Based on what I've seen thus far, and, you know, guys, it's going to change week to week. Or, you know, that's just the way the nature of the beast. So whoever wins this week, Iowa, Penn State, I think is going to have a huge leg up to getting into that third spot right now. You know, if Cincinnati, you know, the fascinating thing is if Cincinnati runs the table, and the thing is, I don't think they just need to run a table. I think they still need to look good. I just do. So it's going to be fascinating to see what the committee does if they do run the table. I'm with you. Oklahoma, I would not be surprised if Texas beats them this week in the Red River Rivalry based on what I've seen out of them this year, which would kind of, you know, knock them out of it. Ohio State is Ohio State. They're super talented, but what we've seen, Michigan's the one there. But again, if Michigan, Ohio State get to that last game, well, of course, Ohio State's already got a loss to Oregon too. So Michigan's the one I think that's kind of in the driver's seat there. So, you know, I kind of throw two wild cards out for you. It's going to be Iowa and Michigan, you know, right now. But I mean, there's a good handful of teams though that are still in this thing. So it's going to be interesting here as we get through the second half of the season.
And that'll be good for expansion guys, because if you have two SEC teams and two Big Ten teams, when we had Tim Brando on, Rennie, he said that the best thing that could happen is just have one year that we could stomach four SEC teams in, and that's the best way for college expansion is four SEC teams in one year. And
but even two, right? Even two from one conference. You got to be sitting there as another Power Five conference like the Pac-12 that hasn't gotten someone in and just say to yourself, all right, guys, let's expand this thing. So now the talk is, well, we don't want to expand it to 12 because we don't want six SEC teams. Okay, but you still have six other spots open. Like at least get into the fight, you know, and of course, if you're a group of five, you have to love that. So I think at the end of the day, I think a bunch of people's feelings were hurt over Texas, Oklahoma, and I think smarter heads will prevail, and I think the expansion will happen in the next couple of years.
I don't care if it's 12, I don't care if it's 8. All I care about is that group of five gets a guaranteed spot.
Yep.
Exactly.
Or at least do what they said, top six. I have no problem. You say the top six conference champions. You don't have to say
all top. Yeah,
just the top six conferences, you'll take that all day long.
Same thing, yep.
Before we let you go, would you have a game this week, and then we'll let you get out of here? We know.
Yeah, so I got Western Michigan, Ball State, 3:30 on ESPNU. As we talked about, Western Michigan's 4-1. Their only loss is to Michigan. So, and wins over Pitt and San Jose State. So they're really on the crux of getting ranked. And then Ball State, who was the MAC champion last year, started out a little rough. Actually beat Army last week, which is a really good win. Army was undefeated, so they're 2-3 going in that game. So it should be a good MACtion showdown, 3:30 Eastern time on ESPNU.
Well, thanks for all you do, my friend. Thanks for going along with us tonight. Appreciate it as always. And give my best to Mickey. 50 years there at Walt Disney World.
Will do. You got it, guys. Good talking to you.
Have a good night.
See you guys.
Good night. Bye-bye. Rennie's the best. Appreciate him. And hey, guys, by the way, we've got a great sponsor here. Right, Bubba?
Yeah, Dave, really appreciate Tim Neal, Surveillance and Security Solutions. You know, anytime you have any type of security needs, give Tim a call. as you see there on the screen. His phone number is 716-490-4503. Again, 716-490-4503. Surveillance and Security Solutions, I appreciate their support of the program. They definitely pride themselves on their reliability and timeliness and accuracy of their work.
And appreciate Tim very much. Know him personally and appreciate his belief and the program. And he's a huge sports fan, so it's a perfect marriage for both of us for sure. Hey, guys, I know Thursday we got a big show, right, Bubba, as we do the Pirate preview?
Yeah, Jeff Allen of the Nightline Sports Network and the AAC Report will return to the show to break down this matchup between UCF and East Carolina. Night game, 6 o'clock kickoff. I believe I have that correct. MG3, 3GM, or something stadium.
They just have this thing. They call it the Bounce House now.
They call it the Bounce House, and I thought they had maybe gotten another sponsor, but maybe that fell through. But yes, in the interim, they were calling it the Bounce House, and that may still be the name in the meantime until they get more sponsorship.
More bounce.
Yeah, they had a deal with getting clearance for a sponsor from that was weird.
Yeah, something about, I don't know, the state of Florida was challenging it for some reason. I'm sure Jeff can shed some light there.
Yep.
No doubt we'll talk to him about the preview and obviously about UCF saying bye-bye to the American. We'll talk to him about that. And Jeff's always been very good to us, so I appreciate him. And then on Saturday night, at some point, we'll have the Pirate football playback, right, Bubba?
Hey, and if we pull off the upset, me and Bubba will do it about 1 o'clock in the morning live from the airport in Greenville, right, Bubba?
Potentially. That's all something right. That I've given thought
I'll
to.
I'll be there in Greenville. I'll drive out there to like a 10-minute drive for me.
There you go.
I'll drive out there. If we win that game, absolutely. That's definitely one of those games that we've been due to beat them, and
what I don't like is, and it maybe kind of makes me now understand why it's a 10-point spread. What we like to do offensively is predicated on the offensive line being able to get pushed and those tight ends getting pushed downfield. If they got a good D-line, it could be a challenge for us. But
yeah,
I do think, you know, that quarterback, they only put up 20-some against Navy. So who knows? Who knows what will happen? I did not realize their defensive line was that good, to be honest. So that scares me a little. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Navy running for 365 yards is one thing because of their triple option offense. You know, for comparison, I was taking a look back at some of their box scores very quickly. Boise State in the season opener. The Broncos, you know, traditionally run the ball very well. They do have a new coaching staff this year, so you have to take that into consideration. But in that football game, UCF outruns Boise State 255-20. And then also, you know, they played at Louisville in just a moment, and I'll have the rush.
Bob's going to get the rushing totals from Louisville for that game. His audio just cut out. I do remember watching that game. I watched most of that Louisville UCF game, and I remember the quarterback having quite a few scrambling yards in that game. So that could be something. I don't know if we will have any design runs for Holton.
Their offense for UCF. They're down the quarterback, their best wide receiver, and did you know? And their best running back. All three. There's like six guys, major players, between offensive defense that are out right now. That obviously the defensive line against our O line is a big question, but at the same time, you never know.
It's definitely a game I think we could pull off the upset in. I thought the line was too big, and anytime there's a line that's questionable, you got to look into why. And I think maybe it's because of the D-line versus offensive line matchup. But, no, I still think we can win the football game. It's not by any means do I think that it's a lock for UCF with all the injuries they have. Gus Malzahn's a great coach, but it's year one there. We've got some confidence. Here's something for you. When is the last time we have won four in a row? I could tell you the last time UCF lost three in a row, and that would be in 2015. But the last time we had won four in a row, did we do that in 2014?
We did. We won five in a row that year.
Okay. So 2014 is the last time we won four in a row, and 2015 would be the last time UCF lost three in a row. So this will
early days of the American, baby.
Be interesting to see how this plays out this weekend. You tell you what, it's exciting to not be scared when you're playing UCF. It's like, hey, yeah, you know what? We can win this game.
They've come back to reality, right?
not only that, so have we, in a positive way. You know, not
yeah, exactly. We not we were terrible.
Back down to reality, or we've come back to our reality where we have a decent football team.
Yeah.
So it's
that we're more like Pirate football. When I watched that Tulane game, guys, I was just so thrilled at seeing, like, especially one thing will definitely go, but we can talk more about on Thursday night, that defense hitting that hard. I haven't seen a team hit a defensive team of ours hit that hard in a long time.
And that's what we got to do. Look, we're not a perfect defensive football team. We're still a work in progress. But one thing we can do is go be extremely physical. If you're not the most talented defense, you can still be the most physical defense. You can still go bust somebody's ass, and you got to keep it clean. And we did that. That was another impressive thing. As we wrap this up, we knocked some people's blocks off, but did it clean. No targeting fouls.
Want to give a shout out to Kenneth Maynard listening and viewing tonight on YouTube. He says, Kyle, add App State, Rice, FAU, Marshall, UAB, Louisiana to AAC. If 16, add Liberty and Southern Miss.
Okay. That's a lot of schools. I don't see the financial benefit in that, but you could do what we talked about in terms of having two distinct divisions and save money with travel costs if you did that.
No question. That's one thing that we got to look at when it comes to finances and the conference and getting less money. But we'll talk more about that Thursday night. Thanks to our great guest, Rennie Angolia. Kyle, man, thank you so much, as always, my friend. And we'll see you on Thursday night. Bubba, dude, thanks for all you do behind the scenes. Appreciate everybody watching and viewing. Until next time with the Pirate Football Playback, I should say preview. That'll be on Thursday night. I'm Dave Richmond. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Udon Cheek, assistant track and field coach at East Carolina University. You are plugged into the Sports Objective Podcast. If you are a fan, you are plugged into the right place. And if you're really a fan, you will share that link. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. Boom!